Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning, appreciate being with everyone, and we just pray and trust that the Lord will speak to us today. I feel pretty needy of His help this morning. John, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, Pilate asked Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" And when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, in his prayer, he said, "Thy word is truth." Pardon me this morning. You know, this morning, there are some truths. They're not arbitrary. And they're not up to our ideas. They're not up to our feelings. They're not up to what we think about. They're not influenced by what we even think about them. Truths, there are some absolutes, aren't there, in life? You know, when you throw something up, I want to predict something. It's coming back down. Is that true? That's truth. We can't, that's just the way it is. It's truth. And it has nothing to do with how we feel about it. It's truth. And this morning I want us to think about some things. I believe the Lord wants us to whet our appetite for things that are true. He wants us to learn to love things that are true. Things that are truly true. You might think, well, what do you mean? How could you not? So who would not? There's a lot of people in today's world that love things that inflame passions. They inflame ideas. There is a lot going on today that truth has no part in it at all. And it affects people's idea of things. And when we have an idea of things, that's how we live, isn't it? And so this morning, it's really important that the Scripture says, "Ye shall know the truth." Now, not everybody's going to know the truth. But I believe those that seek the Lord, He's going to reveal all through their life more and more of His truth. He's going to reveal to them things that make them free. In the Lord. He's going to free them from the things that trouble people. By truth. And by honest judgment. You know what? I want to just preface this with this little. I want us to remember something. I'll mention this later probably. But we live in a world today that is so marked by how people feel. Even their identities are completely enveloped in what I think about something or about myself I don't believe in getting political here, and I'm not being political, but just this is something that happens. I just heard this or read it. And I've read a little more to back this up. But, you know, there is a generation today that you cannot deal with truth. Because they respond to feelings and what I think about it. Did you know there are things that are true? It doesn't matter how we feel about it. It doesn't matter what we think about it or how we feel. It's truth. Oh. Thank you, Michael. I left something out. That's the truth. K-N-O-W. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Yes, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Paul exhorts Timothy here in his letter. Listen to what he says. And I want to touch on some things this morning that I think are more important maybe than we realize they are. It says here, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do you know this morning, God hasn't given us a wavering spirit of fearful behavior that we cannot deal with truth or honesty and those things. But he wants us to know that he's going to give to us the spirit of love and of a sound mind. And I want to read what Clark says on this about a sound mind. He says, "Of a sound mind, of self-possession and government, according to some. But a sound mind implies much more. It means a clear understanding, a sound judgment, a rectified will, holy passions, heavenly tempers," and he goes on. But I want us to think about this morning that there are some things that we really need a clear understanding about in our life, isn't there? It's very important for us to have a clear understanding of some things, of a lot of things. Because if we don't, we're subject to misunderstanding, aren't we? If we don't have a clear understanding, we're subject to being led astray. The Lord works in truth. He works in light. He works in righteousness. And the devil works in haze. He works behind smoke. And he works in all those ways. The devil works in those ways, doesn't he? But the Lord himself said the truth will set you free. He said the truth will make you free. And he said, "He that is free indeed." That means we're not bound up in sin anymore. Do you know that if we have the idea in our mind that we have to sin more or less every day, then that's probably what we're going to do. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to be bound by those things. Because he that sinneth is the servant of sin, isn't he? We're bound by those things. That is the truth. Now, I think we mentioned that Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I want us to get in our hearts and minds this morning, and I know this might be old news to a lot of older people, but folks, this is different than a lot of people in today's world are thinking. And so, when we hear things and when we see things, we want the Lord to give us a clear understanding. It just might have a lot to do with our future. You know, in 1 Kings 3 and 5, we remember there, I'll read it out of my notes. This is 1 Kings 3 and 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said," this is what God said, "ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." And he goes on and he says, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." I would that all of us would take this approach to God. Lord, except for your word, and except for the Spirit of the Lord giving me understanding of that word, I'm but a child. I don't know how to go out or come in. I don't know how to lead the people, much less myself and my own family and all the... You know what? I would that we all had that feeling. Because it's easy, especially when we're young, it's easy to know a lot, isn't it? And I'm not degrading. It's wonderful. When I see young people, I just light up. I sat and watched them. I listened to their laughter and to their games and to what they're doing. It blesses my soul. But I want to tell you something. Life is real. And if we will humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll give us wisdom for that life. And so Solomon went on to say, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this day thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And dropping on down to 12, he says, "Behold," this is what God said back to him. Because Solomon was asking the Lord, "Give me," how did he say that? "Give thy servant an understanding heart." Folks, we need an understanding heart in today's world, if ever we did. And he said, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And so this morning, I want to whet our desire for an understanding heart. And I want us to think about some of the things in life that have a real big effect on our heart and on our understanding of things. You know, in Philippians 4 and 8, we've all read this scripture lots of times, haven't we? And it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? Are true." Whatsoever things are true. He's telling these folks, there's some real things we ought to think about. Whatever things are true. Now I want to ask us this morning, why would we think about something not true? Sometimes the truth hurts. But you know what? I think it's even more than that lots of times. Things that aren't true tickle our imaginations and our fantasies and our all of these things. That's why people get so engrossed in movies and all that kind of stuff. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I know that I'm maybe a little stricter than some in some ways, but I want to just give this to you, okay? Learn to love and to meditate on whatsoever things are true. Do you know when we read things that are fantasies? Okay? When we watch things that are fantasies, don't think that don't have anything to do with our thoughts. Because it does. And we get misconceptions. We get misconceptions about what love is. We get misconceptions of life. We get misconceptions of what it means to be a man or a woman. You know, the Word of God is full of those good truths, aren't they? I want to encourage us to spend our time dealing with things that are true. Dealing with things, I never allowed hardly any of that in our home. Because if it wasn't true, if it wasn't a documentary or something, folks, I know that I'm saying some things here that not everybody agrees with, but just let me say it, okay? And the Lord give us both understanding, okay? But I want to tell you something. I really believe that there is something that happens when we begin to live in a fantasy world that changes the dynamics of what God wants there to be in our life. Because I believe that God wants young people to grow up to be fully engaged in life. I believe He wants them to be engaged in knowing how to take responsibilities. I believe He wants them to be engaged when it comes to family worship and understanding those stories and loving those things. Now, I want to tell you something. We only have so much time in life, don't we? If we fill them up with one thing, there's going to be something else that didn't get. because we only have so much time. I want to encourage us this morning to fall in love with things that are true and honest, and that provide a godly narrative, something that the Bible could say, that's a good one, that's a good thing. Do you know this morning that there's a lot in here that will make most of us have no time for foolishness? Really, not much. If we do it God's way. Because He gives us a whole host of responsibilities in life, doesn't He? And it goes beyond you and me. It goes to our relationship with the Lord. And I want to ask us, how's that doing today? Are we taking the kind of time and engaging with that, with the Lord, and humbling ourselves and calling out upon God until we know His voice, until we know His ways, until we take up our cross and follow Him? You know, He tells us, He gives us the story of the prodigal, or not the prodigal, but the man along the road that got robbed, and the Good Samaritan story. You know, this morning there's so many good things in life to engage in. And I believe this, when we engage in it God's way, we'll come out healthier spiritually. We'll come out more whole in a whole life, in our pattern of living. We'll come out more whole that way. There's a lot of things in life, folks, that God has for you and me to do. And I just want to encourage us today. I hope this message will be a real message of encouragement. For us, folks, we live in a world today where people don't even know who they are or how they're made because they don't feel like that. Folks, that has nothing to do with it. I know I'm stepping out right there, but I want to tell you something. We are what God made us. And we want to be that. And we want to fill that role. And we want to fill it fully and wholly and completely, don't we? There's something healthy, something mentally, emotionally, and physically healthy about doing God's things His way. Because, see, it's so easy for us to be caught up in a world that is not real. We live in a generation that is caught up in a world that is not real. And so, like I heard, this was on the news or something, you know, you can't deal with them. You can't present the facts to them because that's not what they will respond to. The facts don't mean anything, even though they're very important and critical in their lives. I say, let's fall in love with truth. With God's Word, with God's ways, with His will in our life. And I think we'll find a prosperity that's better and deeper than we realized it was. I'm not condemning people this morning. I just want to throw this out to you to consider. Because I believe there's sometimes healthier ways of doing things than what we do. You know, what we are and what we think we are might be two different things. It takes real honesty, truth, doesn't it? To own up to who we really are or what we really are. And so that's very important, I believe. And I'm going to touch a little more on this. This may not be the end of it. But from a child, I was taught, read things that are true. And so I whetted my appetite for that. I'm not condemning. I'm just telling you, consider these things. To this day, if it's not true, I can't make myself take time to read it. I don't have time for it because there's so many good things that are true. There's so many biographies that are so inspiring to live your life after. There's so many good things in life. And so this morning, the Lord help us today. I never finished the scripture in Philippians, but I want to read on. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, manliness, but not only manliness, godliness, wholesome behavior. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Give yourself to good things. Do we have time to do that? Well, let's make time. We all have 24 hours a day. And Paul says here, you think on these things. And I want to tell you something. You think on those things and they just spawn other things. And the Lord fills our life up with good things, doesn't He? In 1 Corinthians 9 and 26, Paul says here, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. I'm not running as somebody that's just out having fun running down the track. I'm dead serious about my running because this is to heaven. And he says here, I keep under my body. That means I keep my body under subjection. And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to encourage us today. Our mind is part of our body. Did we know that? Sure we do. Our mind is part of our body. And we always think here of keeping our appetites in control and all those things. And rightly we should. But let's remember something. Let's keep our mind stayed where it should be. And I think there's something about growing up like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The Lord just makes it happen, doesn't He? I want to tell you, we're not talking about giving up all the enjoyment of life. We're talking about the enjoyment of life coming into our life and soul and spirit. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, listen to what this says. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know the Holy Ghost teaches some things? And did you know those things are most of the time not what man teaches? Did you know there's a great difference? And he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, but he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you know that's our privilege today, to have the mind of Christ? We don't have to be like a ship on the ocean with no rudder and no sail. That's the way it is when you don't have the Lord. The Lord wants us to be able to have the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ will lead us into many good things. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10 and 15, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our mind is part of our body, and if we're going to bring it into captivity, it's going to be on purpose. Our mind is not going to come into captivity by accident. We're going to have to bring it. We're going to have to bring it into captivity. We're going to have to bring it under the control of the Lord if we want those things. To the obedience, every thought, it says, to the obedience of Christ. Oh, the Lord help us today that we can have that spirit and that understanding in our life that is wholesome and godly. I believe the Lord has a good way. Folks, I believe when we embrace God's way, it'll set us free. It'll set us free of the things that will hinder us and trip us along the way to heaven. The Lord wants us to take His way. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. So the things we find in the Bible, they aren't optional. They aren't written as an optional thing. Thy word is truth. It is the truth of God. And the Lord wants us to put it in our life. And when we put those truths into our life, what it does for us, isn't it amazing how it changes us? It changes our lives, doesn't it? Oh, God be with us today. You know, in Hebrews 5, the Hebrew writer says, for everyone that useth milk, 5 and 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, the Lord wants us to have our senses exercised until we can take a look at something and discern whether it fits or not. You know, somebody that is good in their field and they've had many years in it, I've been amazed. Car body men are this way. Carpenters are this way. You know, things that others can walk in and everything looks great. To them, there's obvious things that may be sticking out, unfinished or undone or not done right or properly. And to the trained eye, it sticks out. God wants our life to be that way. And He says here, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. People who have grown up in the Lord. And He says a couple of verses above that, He said, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And then He goes on with these two scriptures we read. You know, when there ought to be a time that we become teachers. Why? Well, maybe a class needs a teacher. But I'll tell you even more than that, maybe our children need a teacher. And there ought to be a time, as early as possible in life, when we ought to be able to teach them the things concerning spiritual things. Things that are wholesome. When we've begun by experience to test things, to see what works spiritually, what doesn't work spiritually. I know that we would like to have a book we could just open and it tell every aspect of life. We don't have that. We never will have that. We don't want that. We want to walk with the Lord. We want Him to enlarge His word to us so we can understand those things that are healthy and those things that are not. This morning, if we're going to be an addict, folks, let's be an addict to the work of the Lord. I think the Bible talks about a man that addicted? What's the word it says? To the work of God.
Given to hospitality.
There's so many things like that that God wants to put into our life. And He wants to grow us up in those things. But I will tell you, if we are mesmerized, if we are numbed, if we are unable to learn how to sacrifice, see, all those things are God's things. sacrifice. Those things take what we would be doing for ourselves, and we give them to somebody else or the work of the Lord. And so I want to encourage us today to not be a babe when it comes to the things of God. Because if we are just a babe and we never learn to grow up and take the handles of responsibility. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to physically stay little babies. We're not supposed to emotionally stay little babies. We are not supposed to spiritually stay little babies. The Lord wants us to grow up. He has handles of responsibility that He wants to put in our hand. And He wants to know that somebody's going to take good care of it. You know who that's going to be? Somebody that has been taking responsibility for their soul. Somebody that's been taking the responsibility of what God has in mind for their life. And you know what that does? They grow like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So this morning, the Lord bless us today. The Lord cause us to fall in love with things that are true, with doctrine that is true, whether it crosses the flesh or not. What we feel about it or how it affects our feelings, folks, we have to accept God's will. Folks, contrary to what the world around us is saying, there are absolutes. There are truths that we must accept or we shall be stunted. We will be runts in the kingdom of God. Okay, I want to read just a little bit more here. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Timothy, you've come to a place where I want you to use the word. I want you to help people to understand those things that are wholesome and good. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, the things that the flesh longs for to fill it up, just constantly addicted to pleasure and to all those things. Folks, let's be addicted to the will of God. Is that all right this morning? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People don't always want to hear the truth, do they? Because that's what itching ears is talking about. I really want to hear what I want to hear. And so they heap to themselves teachers like that. Well, this morning, we want to heap to ourselves the will of God, don't we? Let's just put ourselves into it. Folks, the will of God is good. It is wholesome. God made it. And I think everything that He made, He said He saw it, and it was very good. Having heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, I know you'd like to sit down and just have everybody serve you, but he says, endure afflictions, Timothy. He said, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Serve. I want to tell you, I really believe the Lord has just a whole house full of servants, doesn't He? Oh, the Lord help us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to read to you this that Clark said about fables. He's not the only commentator I read, but sometimes I copy out of his notes. He says, and shall be turned into fables. Believe any kind of stuff and nonsense. For as one has justly observed, those who reject the truth are abandoned by the just judgment of God to credit the most degrading nonsense. This is remarkably the case with most deists. Their creed often exhibits what is grossly absurd. Folks, we are not making fun of people. It's very serious today. There are a lot of people today that believe any kind of stuff and nonsense, like this man, Adam Clark, was writing. So today, let's believe the truth. Let's follow hard after God and let Him have His way in our life. I want to tell you, if we'll do that, I have no question about it in my mind. We will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And when the drought comes, our leaf is not going to quit bearing, our branch is not going to quit bearing fruit, and our leaf is not going to turn brown and fall off because we've been following hard after God. Let's put our priorities where they belong. Let's allow ourselves to not always feel good, but do the right things. Endure afflictions if we must. Endure some things if we must. Endure some hardship between us and those we love if we must. Because we're fighting for their souls. Shall we just roll over and say, well, if that's the way you feel about it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in fighting for our loved ones. yes, we give them their ultimate desires and will. In the end, we must. They grow up. They leave. We can't do anything at that point except that bond of love that we have between us and them. That bond of respect. We still have an influence on them, don't we? If we will. If we'll live this way, oh, the Lord, bless our people. Cause us to grow. Cause us to keep our children in the truth. Cause us to keep our children as those that have learned to serve and sacrifice. I want to tell you, that's a very clear Bible doctrine. It's a very clear element of the gospel that we've got to be careful to do. Let's teach our children what it means to sacrifice, what it means to give up for others, what it means to love our enemies and do good to them. These are places that the Lord works in the middle of all that, and He welds into their heart truth, and He gives them a love for things that are good and wholesome and lovely and all those things. So this morning, God bless each one of us. You pray for me that we can be this way ourselves. Amen.